All right, the theme tonight is the eternal one, the eternal one. We gave a couple of weeks of introduction to 1 John, and now we're just going to kind of work our way through it more in a kind of a teachy kind of way. But I really believe 1 John is a book that we as God's people need to learn, read, study, meditate on, and just really put it into our lives. Very vital book of the Bible. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but again, we'll see that as we go through it. The opening to this epistle is much like the opening to the book of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. What is really made clear right away in the beginning of John, this epistle, is that Jesus Christ is eternal. That's something you want to write down in your heart. You want to put it in your mind. And I've said it before, so repetition is the key to learning. Jesus Christ did not begin his existence in a manger in Bethlehem. Okay? Jesus Christ did not begin his existence when he was the Holy Ghost put him in Mary's womb. That's not when he began his existence. Okay? He is eternally existent. Eternally existent. Okay? And we learn that right away. Because of this, we can also say that because Jesus is God, we know that he is God, that means that he is before the beginning. Okay, before the beginning, in the beginning, God. Before there was a beginning of this world, we know there was God. We're going to go through. I know I told you to turn to 1 John. I apologize that we're actually going to go to Micah 5. So go to Micah 5, and we're going to do a lot of verses here. And that's our theme, though, tonight is this one theme of the eternal one. Micah. Chapter 5, and some of these verses you probably are well aware of. They would be definitely verses that you would want to jot down. If somebody, you know, somebody says, "Oh, I don't believe that," or I don't know about that. Again, our foundation is God's word. We know that it's not my word or your word or the Baptist's word, it's God's word, and it's our final authority for faith and practice. And obviously some people don't take that. That's not what they believe. They don't believe the Bible is God's word. And I can't convince them otherwise. That's not my job. My job and your job is to proclaim truth and to live the truth as well. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah. Okay, so we learn right away, right here, we're learning where he's going to be born, where Jesus is going to be born. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, unto me that is to be the ruler of Israel. But notice the last phrase of verse 2. Whose goings forth have been from of old. Notice the next two words. From everlasting. Okay, so this is about Jesus Christ. Micah 5:2 is about Jesus Christ. But his beginning did not begin in Bethlehem, as we said that already. He is from old, from everlasting. So there's no beginning, there's no ending, okay? All right, now go to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And here he's speaking to Philip. And, of course, John 14, 1 to 6, very familiar verses of Scripture. Pastor Ravert just alluded to one of those verses just a moment ago. And but look at verse number 9. Jesus saith unto him, we know it's Philip because of verse number 8, and then he uses his name in verse 9, but have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So Jesus is the visible. He is the tangible, visible image of an invisible God. When we see Jesus, we haven't seen him, but when Philip saw Jesus, he saw God. He saw God the Son. Okay? So he is the visible, tangible image of the invisible God. He is the complete revelation of what God is like. It cannot be any better for us than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the complete revelation about God's life. The search for truth and reality ends with Jesus Christ. He is God. He is before, from old, from everlasting. He is the eternal one. Now, in John's day, the Gnostics were a group of people that were teaching false doctrine, and they believed and taught that Jesus was a created being. Okay? Which is why we have these words in 1 John chapter 1. So let's go back there now. Now we are headed there. And so, just, you know, again, as you think about the Bible, we want to think about when it was written, who it was written to, and that. And so this is one of the main reasons why God used John to write this, because of the day in which John was living what they believed. And we know, according to Scripture, this could be further from the truth. Jesus was not a created being. Yes, Jesus took on the form of man, but he did not cease to become God when he took on the form of man. He was still God. He was the God-man. And so Jesus Christ is eternal. Now, I think it's very important that we not only be able to say we believe that, but that we are able to show someone in the Bible why we believe that. This is what I learned at church, okay? Well, what about, that's great, but how about you be able to take someone in your Bible and say, this is why I believe that Jesus Christ is eternal, because this is what it says in the Bible. You know, if that were to ever come about, is what I'm saying, right? And so it's better, as we've heard it said, it's better to say, this is what God's Word says, than it is to say, this is what I believe. Okay? And we hopefully you do believe what God's Word says. But look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. Remember John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word. So again, a lot of parallels here. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So we could say this about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ possessed a real physical body. A real physical body. We can also say from other verses of Scripture that we're going to look at in just a moment, that Jesus Christ, the eternal one, we've said that, let's emphasize that, the eternal one is the creator God. He is the creator God. Go back to Genesis 1:1. I won't turn back there, but it says, in the beginning, God. John 1:1, in the beginning. Or John 1:1, I just lost that. It's in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. John 1:1, I just forgot. In the beginning was the Word. Yeah, I need to go back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. I'm thinking baseball, you know, in the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then now 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning. Let's go in our Bibles, hold your finger there in 1 John 1, and turn back just a few pages to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. So he's the creator God. How can he be the creator God if he began to exist in the manger? That's impossible, right? Now, we know that's not true, but I'm just saying, that's the argument is, how in the world could he be the creator God if he started to exist in the manger? We know that's not true. Look what it says in Colossians and chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. There it is. Remember, he is the tangible, visible God of the invisible. This is our verse for that. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things what? Created. He's the creator God. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Don't forget that. Okay, as we go through life, remember, we are not our own. We're bought with a price, yes, but we're created for him. We're created to bring him honor and glory. We're created to worship him and him only. And praise the Lord for that. Think of that. God says, me and you, we as sinners, can worship him. Holy God. Yet we can worship him because of Christ. Because it isn't us, it's Christ in us. Verse 17. And he is, here it is, before all things. All things. All means all, and that's all means, right? So he is the eternal one. And by him, all things consist. So Jesus Christ is the creator God. Jesus Christ possessed a real physical body. Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of life. The incarnate word of life. We see that in verse number 1. We also see this in John 1, 1-4, and then John 1, 14. John 1, 14. Go back there and read John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh. The Word references Jesus Christ. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word there is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1, 1. We've quoted that already. But notice John 1, 2. Just kind of reemphasizing a few verses here to have down in thinking about this. The same was in the beginning with God. Okay? So again, he's eternal. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus Christ is the creator God. I think we've covered that. Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of life. Jesus Christ is the incarnate life. Look at verse number 2 of 1 John. He is the incarnate life. For the life was manifested, was made known. And we have seen it and bear witness. And show unto you that eternal life. Eternal life. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He is the incarnate life. What did he say in John 14, 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. John 11, 25. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 11, 25 and 26. So we have eternal life tonight as Christians. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have eternal life through him. Now, here's something I was thinking about. And thinking about it and then reading a little bit more and found this interesting quote really helped me about this. Think of this quote here. Eternal life speaks of far more than just length. I like that statement. It also speaks of the nature, quality, and kind of life that we have as a believer. In other words, we're not waiting to heaven to enjoy eternal life. You shouldn't be. If you're waiting to heaven, waiting until heaven to enjoy eternal life, you're missing out. I'm missing out. No, I got eternal life when I was 9 years old, and I got saved. I may not have understood much doctrine when I was 9 years old, but I knew what it meant to be saved. I knew what it meant to be a sinner. I knew what it meant that I was going to go to hell if I didn't get saved, and I was convicted of my sin, and I got trusted Christ as Savior, and a few years have gone by since then, not many, but a few years have gone by since then, and I know a little bit more now, maybe. But I'll tell you this, I'm not waiting till I get to heaven to experience the goodness and grace of God. That's eternal life. Eternal life is right now. That's why, how can we as Christians, and yes, we will be discouraged at times, we will be defeated at times, we might even be depressed at times. It can happen, okay? But the sooner we get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on the life, we'll come out of it. Why? Because he's with us now. We have that life right now, eternal life. So it speaks of the nature and quality and kind of life that we have as a believer. So I have to ask you, what kind of life do you have as a believer? Yes, it can be a roller coaster at times. Okay? But we always come back to a fixed point of reference. And our fixed point of reference is Jesus Christ is the life. He's the light, yes, but he's also the life. The life is not the church. The life is not the pastor. Jesus Christ is the life. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't matter if it's 2021. It doesn't matter if it's 2025. If we're still here, he is the light. He is the life. That's what my anchor is in. Now, the statement wasn't done yet. So eternal life speaks of far more than just length. It also speaks of the nature, quality, and kind of life that we have as a believer. Here's something else. Jesus Christ wants to give us, this is what I really like, a heavenly quality of life right now in our present experience. Isn't that true? That is so true. God did not save you and me to walk on this earth with our head down, lip out, kicking rocks, hoping for heaven. No. God saved us to have our head up, not in pride, but have our head up, have our eyes on him, marching forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng, and just going on for God and experiencing eternal life now, experiencing a heavenly quality now. Like Brother Raybert said, why wait for the street of gold? We can experience heaven right now. What is heaven? Jesus Christ. We can go into the presence of God. Yes, not in its fullest as being in heaven, don't get me wrong. But we can still, when we open up this book and we open up our heart to the Lord, we can have that sweet communion with him right now. That is eternal life. Experiencing it now. Eternal life speaks of far more than just length. It also speaks of the nature, quality, and kind of life that we have as a believer. Jesus Christ wants to give us a heavenly quality of life right now in our present experience. And I think so many other Christians need to hear that. So many other Christians, I need to hear that. I need to have that written down somewhere where I can access it a little quicker, a little right accessible, because there's going to be a day where I don't necessarily believe that because, you know, I'm too weighed down by the things of this world, and I need to hear that and read that again. Because the devil doesn't want us to live right now as if we're living with eternal life. The devil wants us to live discouraged, defeated. The devil wants us to not have the joy of the Lord. Because then who would want what we have if that's how we're living our life? But if we can go forward in 2021 and have the glow of God on us, why? Because we have eternal life. Now we have eternal life. And that life is through his Son. So eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Jesus Christ is who makes it possible for us to have fellowship with the God of light. Why can Jesus Christ give us eternal life? Because he is eternal. John 20:31. Let's go over there. John 20:31. John 20:31. It's a good verse to memorize. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have what? Life. Life through his name. Through his name. If we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if you have that tonight, if you have him tonight as your personal Savior, you have eternal life. Thank God for it. This eternal life gives us fellowship with the Father. Having Jesus Christ gives us fellowship with the Father. Here's some references. We're not going to turn to these for time, but I just want you to, this, we find eternal life, eternal life. Just that statement, eternal life. John 3:15. John 3:15. John 10:28. Romans 6:23. Titus 1:2. And then we find it six times in 1 John. Six times. I don't have them all written down. Six times in 1 John. In thinking about that statement, eternal life, here's an obvious statement. Eternal life would not be eternal if we could lose it. We believe the Bible teaches we have eternal life. Okay, another term that we give for that is eternal security. Eternal security. What does this mean? This means, according to John chapter 10, that I am in the hand, that I am, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them. That's one of the references I just gave you, by the way, John 10:28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The eternal life that we have is not based on our merit. It is based on Jesus, who is eternal. Okay? So we believe in the eternal security. What is eternal security? It's just that. Once you get saved, you cannot lose what you did not earn. No one here earned their salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. It's a gift. You cannot lose what you have not earned. It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Because why? Verse 2 tells us that Jesus Christ is eternal life. The fellowship that we have, that we've mentioned, the fellowship that we have with God is through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3 of our text. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we kind of talked about this a while back, but this fellowship is a big part of 1 John. And it's not just fellowship with God, although it is fellowship with God. We have that fellowship with God, as we said. We can walk with God because we are in Christ. But it's also talking about a fellowship here with the family of God. The fellowship with us, people of God. So the fellowship that we have with God, how can we even pray? How can someone pray to God? It's because they're saved. They have eternal life. They're praying through Jesus Christ. So can a lost person pray? The only prayer I believe a lost person can pray is, Lord, as God, I'm a sinner. I need you to save my sin-sick soul. God will hear that prayer. Yes. Prayer of repentance. But a lost person has no connection with the Father because they don't have the Son. My connection with God is not the church. You know, that's why you don't have to come to me with a prayer request and say, you know, I got to pray through you to the Father. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. There's some false teaching out there that groups will do that, but we don't see that in the Bible. We have the priesthood of the believer, where we go in the name of Jesus to the Father. We pray through the Son to the Father, and that's this fellowship that John's talking about here in John 1:3. Now, things get in the way of this fellowship. Okay? We have direct access to God through the Father, but we still have this old nature with us. God is holy, right? God is holy. So there is a separation that takes place, and our fellowship with God is affected, not our relationship. Our fellowship with God is affected by sin. We read that in the Old Testament book of Isaiah 59. Maybe you want to turn over there quickly. At least jot that one down. Isaiah 59. So we have this fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. He makes it possible. But again, think about it this way. God made it possible in sending Jesus Christ. Isaiah 59. Look at verse 1 and 2, please. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. See, there you go. So, he's ready to save sinners like me, sinners like you, people that we're praying for to be saved. We just heard some names tonight. We're praying for them to be saved. God will hear their cry out to him for salvation. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What is it that got in the way? My iniquities, right? Another word for my sin. So, but how do we get that dealt with? The same way we got connected with God in the first place is we confess our sin, and Jesus Christ's blood can still cleanse us from all sin. But I don't get saved again. I don't get reconnected to God. I'm still connected to God, but there's kind of a maybe some turbulence, but it's not clear. There's some fuzz in the radio station or whatever that's called. You know, static. There we go. Static. Thank you. You know, and it's not that God, you know, it's that my sin is the static. And as soon as I confess that sin before God and apply that blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanseth me from all sin. That fellowship is restored. So it's restored the same way that it came. Think about that, though. So if my fellowship with God is what it ought to be, I believe we see in verse number 3 that my fellowship with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will also be what it ought to be. So if I'm at odds with someone, you know, I wrote this down, we can conclude that all church divisions and splits would be eliminated if our fellowship with God was what it ought to be. Because we can't be right with our family here unless we're right with our Father there. And when we're right with our Father there, he helps us be right with our family here. That's what verse 3 talks about, that the joint fellowship, fellowship with us, fellowship with the Father. What does it mean? What does this fellowship mean? Well, just a couple things I'll give you here, and we'll get into our prayer time. But fellowship, a couple other words that I've written down here, is friendship. Friendship. What is a friend? Someone you have something in common with. It's somebody that you commune with. A friend is someone you can open up to. Bible says of our Savior, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. By the way, there's nothing you can tell Jesus and God, if you will, that they already don't know. Right? But still, we ought to tell God the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He already knows them anyway. God, you know that I fear this certain thing over here. We talk to God. That's fellowship. He's not a distant deity. God is a friend. That's what fellowship is. We fellowship with our friends. You don't think someone you can open up to. With an acquaintance. An acquaintance is different than a friend. You know, you maybe go through the same line at the store, and you may get to know someone there as an acquaintance. But you don't open up to that person at the till like you would open up to a friend. You trust. I'm saying this as I'm trying to get us to think about this, that God wants to be in your life and in my life someone that we pour out everything to. And he says, please, cast all your care on me. I think we're missing really a part of our fellowship with God is that even though he already knows this frontwards and backwards, but he says, cast all your care on me, I care for you. That's part of the fellowship. We pour out that. We pour out our soul to them as a friend. With a friend, I can say anything or I can say nothing. God wants us for a friend. He's made the way. Think about this. He's made the friendship possible. Friends are like two streams that meet and after having flowed together for a time become so intermixed as to become part of each other. So that's a friendship. Fellowship is a friendship. Secondly, another word for fellowship is partner. Partner. When you're a partner with someone, or in a sense, there's a mutual interest. There's a mutual interest. Think about this. Are you interested in what God wants? Because I'll tell you this, God is interested in you. Partner. God is interested in your perfect design and will that He has for you, and He wants you to know what it is. He's not hiding it. He's not making it a mystery. I should be interested in Him, but think about this. He is interested in me. How do we show our interest in God? I'll tell you how we show our interest in God. We open up His Word more than just on Sunday. So many people that call themselves Christians are only interested in God on Sunday. Can I tell you, God is interested in us 7 days a week. I don't even know if God actually has a calendar. Okay? God's just interested in us, period. I don't know if there's days and weeks and months in heaven. Who knows? But there's no time, right? He's before all time, so He probably doesn't have a calendar. All of our lifetime, from birth to death, okay, there we go. He's interested in us. Let's make sure that we are interested in Him. Not just one day of the week. Not just 2 days of the week. Boy, that's challenging when you think about it, how interested He is in us. Because we are partners and I am in Him and He is in me, guess what that means? All of His resources are at our disposal. This is part of fellowship. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, the song says. All of heaven's resources are ours. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. If God's resources are at my disposal, now let's flip that coin over. Are all of mine available to Him? See, what resources? Your life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I have all of His resources. What am I holding back from Him? So that's fellowship. It's a partnership. His wisdom, His power, His knowledge. When's the last time? And again, I know it's Wednesday night, so probably we're all doing this, but I'm sure we could all work on it. But how often I mess up within the partnership, me and God, because I don't even seek His advice. That's part of fellowship. Stop, pause, and think, okay, God, this has come to me. It seems quite urgent, but it's probably something, probably almost everything could wait 24 hours. I'm really guilty about this. If something comes to me, I want to solve it right now. Let's deal with it right now. Let's put a plan in place. Let's work it out. You know what you got to do sometimes? You got to just put that down. You got to set it to the side, and you got to say, okay, God, I need Your wisdom on this. I'm not making a decision for at least a day. Now, for me, that's saying a lot. I need to get that out maybe to 2 days sometimes. But this is what I've learned in a little bit in 20 years of pastoring. Most things can wait 24 hours. Most. Not everything, okay? There are some things that can't wait 24 hours, don't get me wrong. But what does that give you time to do? It gives me time to go to the one who has all the wisdom to make the decision anyway. That's the fellowship. Partnership. Mutual devotion, sharing. Mutual activity. I'm a partnership. God accommodating Himself to my weakness. Gentle. Boy, God is so gentle with me. I've prayed this prayer before, and I'm sure you have. Thank you, God, for being long-suffering with me. Can you imagine God? We think about waiting on God. How about God waiting on us? You know. And then thinking about how Enoch walked with God. But how about this? God walked with Enoch. You think there, you think Enoch has something on you? On me? No. We can walk with God. God will walk with us. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that also that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. The eternal one. The eternal one. He is the Creator God. He is the Word of life. He is the incarnate life. And he is the one who opens up the door to fellowship with God. So think about that as we get into the rest of our week. What all we have through the eternal one.